Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. It is yet again Sunday morning, and you are here with the Bear on Jefferson State of Mind. The Mouse is still out. It is her last week out. She's getting her husband back, so she'll be indisposed for the next little bit. He's coming home from National Guard training. So, once again, you're stuck with just me, the Bear, broadcasting from deep in occupied Jefferson territory. So, I want to take the opportunity to wish all the dads out there a very, very happy Father's Day. I hope you have a good one. I hope you get to share it with your kids or with your dad or whatever the case may be. And I kind of want to take the opportunity a little bit to exhort the fathers a little bit and kind of pick on us a little bit and remind us of our duty, of some of the things that we're supposed to do. You know, dads kind of have a lot on their plate as well, and that's teaching your children is one of the most vital things that you can do. I mean, obviously we're supposed to be providers and protectors, and there's a great many fathers out there that can't even figure out that part. But for those of you that are doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're in your kids' lives, you're being the father figure that your kids need. Good for you, but I want to make sure that you're doing all of it, because really there is more to it than just putting food on the table, keeping a roof over the head, and clothes on their back. You're responsible for who they become as people, and that includes instilling the ideals of citizenship and turning them into good citizens, turning them into good patriots, making sure that they understand the fundamentals of their country, the fundamentals and the ideals of liberty, of faith, of freedom, what those things mean, and the price that's been paid to secure those things for them. That's part of your duty too, Dad, is understanding those things yourself. If you don't understand them very well, I would say that you have a duty to get yourself a good, firm understanding of that, and you need to pass that on to your children, because they are the future. And what kind of future can be secured for them if they don't understand what that future is supposed to look like by understanding the past? So I hope you guys are having a fantastic Father's Day, but take it as a little bit of time of reflection. It's more than just breakfast in bed and going and golfing with the guys or whatever it is that you happen to be doing today. Take this Father's Day to remember your duty, understand your duty, and know that it is more than just food and, you know, picking up Johnny with scraped knee when he falls off his bike. Because one of the biggest failings that our country is having is the failure of our school systems to educate our children on civics, on economics, on government. It is absolutely intentional, because how can they know what they're supposed to protect if they don't understand what it is that they're supposed to protect? So I do. You know, take your kids aside, and you'll get the size and the rolls of the eyes and stuff, but, you know, maybe teach an amendment a night. You know, tell stories of American heroes and the things that they did, you know, to protect and secure their liberty. There's a lot of opportunities to do things. Take your kids to museums, you know. And I've experienced with my kids, you'll get resistance out of them, and they don't want to do that. They want to grab the iPad, or they want to watch the cartoon, or they want to do something. But once you get them there, all of that's forgotten. You know, kids are fascinated if you do it the right way. So I know I do it with my kids, and I hope that you're doing it with yours. So, on this Father's Day, we're going to be digging into some things. You guys that have been listening the last couple of weeks, you know that I've been kind of pounding the drum about understanding the dynamic of the fight that we're in. And the dynamic that I'm really trying to bring forward is an understanding that we are an occupied people in occupied territory. I made the case for that last week on the show. I made the, wrote an article in the Shasta Lantern that you can go read called Jefferson is Occupied Territory. I'm going to continue to make that case and kind of advance, well, what do we do about it now? You know, if we are occupied people, in what way do we behave and how do we do that and how do we change our mindset? Because we don't have the mindset of an occupied people right now. I'm not sure how many people are even really willing or able to accept that fact that we are occupied at this point. So I'm going to kind of continue to drive that home and make that point, and hopefully people can get it. So as a brief refresher, occupied territory is territory that is under the effective control and authority of a belligerent armed force. And I have made the case that the Jefferson counties obviously represent territory, that we are under the effective control and authority of Sacramento, in this case, of a belligerent armed force. Well, Sacramento does have armed forces at their disposal. They have state police, they have a National Guard, they have several other armed state agencies. So there's definitely the armed force part of it. And what it breaks down to for most people is the argument over belligerent. We defined belligerent last week, and belligerent is hostile and aggressive. We made the case that Sacramento's policies are definitely hostile towards the Jefferson territories, the way that they treat us, the way that they are disrespectful of us and our way of life and our needs, the way they are condescending and dismissive of what we want, that they are extremely aggressive about implementing their policies, especially environmental and economic policies that cause us harm socially and economically. And the second part of belligerent is engaged in warfare, and that's kind of the part where a lot of people get kind of a giggle about, oh yeah, California is engaged in warfare against Jefferson. But again, made the case that there's more than one kind of warfare, and that is economic warfare. And considering that the policies of California, rather intentionally in some cases, have cost us over 72% of our economy over the last 20 years, that California is definitely engaged in economic warfare against Jefferson. It is intentional. So in all cases, Sacramento's government meets the definition of belligerent. So there's just kind of a quick recap of where I am in my argument, and I kind of want to advance the idea of that and what do we want to do next. So real quick before our break, we're going to go to Jan in Shasta. You there, Jan?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell everybody about a Jefferson event we have scheduled for June 27th. We're calling it Jefferson in the Park. It'll be at 6 p.m. on June 27th in a park called Claire Ingle Park. Mark Baird will be speaking. We have some food and we have some music lined up. And we need you to bring your own seating, and I hope to see you all there. And happy Father's Day to everyone as well.
All right. Thank you, Jan.
Okay.
Yep. And again, that's June 27th in Shasta Lake City at Claire Ingle Park at about 6 p.m. Music, food. Come hear the Mark Baird message. If you haven't heard it, come hear it so you can understand what's going on. If you have heard it, come hear it again, because there is so much presented there and so much given there, most people don't catch it on the first go-round. So absolutely come and hear that. And like Jan said, make sure to bring your own seating. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting on your butt in the dirt. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get off to our first break, and then when we come back, I'm going to be kind of discussing how to change your thought process to realizing the fact that if you live in one of the Jefferson counties, you're an occupied people, and what you need to start doing about it.
Rehearsing, gotten coached, and now the local dancers and their pro partners go on stage at the Cascade Theater Saturday, June 27th for the 9th annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. This huge fundraising extravaganza.
We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right. 447873. That's 244.
Summer is on us at
money. 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2015 Sedonas and 2015 Fortes and Optimas. And Kia Motors will make your first 3 monthly payments for you. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Redding Kia wants your trade. Get more for it right now at Redding Kia and get 0% financing for up to 66 months. And Kia Motors will make your first 3 monthly payments, plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, dealer document processing charges, any emission testing charges. Must finance to Kia Motors Finance for this special offer on approval of credit.
It's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start from 7 to 9. Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our... Please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about. I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR.
...form of government that we are, as Alex de Tocqueville called them, our townships, and restoring power and putting people in place that will not just rubber stamp everything that California does to us, but will actually begin to resist it and protest it. And we actually have this power on the county level if we understand it and we exercise it. This is why it is so vital that you don't just put whoever on your county board of supervisors. This is the most fundamental unit of government in America. For those of you that are the California Air Resource Board and the things that they are doing against our industry and the transportation network that is vital for a rural society. Without those trucks in a rural society, you wither and die. It's pretty simple. To allow kids that aren't vaccinated into the schools, they can order a memorandum where the sheriff doesn't allow any enforcement of anything against that. We have that kind of power at the county level, but we have to have representatives that understand American government, that they have to understand the plight of the people. They have to understand and know and behave in respect for representation of the people. And at the end of the day, they have to have the testicular fortitude to implement those policies. Because it takes a little bit of sand and grit to stand up. But these are the things that we have to start doing, because these are the last lines of defenses for us as an occupied people here in Jefferson. So we have to start looking and identifying who represents the people, who works for the people, and who works for California. And the people that work for California, we have to start removing from office. We have to start putting in people that represent the people where they live and will protect the people where they live, that will put their county first, that will put a stop to things. We have all kinds of power. You don't like Common Core. Well, then let's get a board of supervisors that will not implement Common Core in their schools. And then when the funding is cut off, how about they don't send their property taxes down to Sacramento and instead pay for their own schools directly? You think that's a shot across the bow of Sacramento? Is that going to take a little bit of sand to pull something like that off? Yeah, you better believe it, because that's a pretty bold move. But these are the things that we are going to have to start doing. While we continue to push Jefferson down the road, because we will be an occupied people until we are a free state. We have made the case for that over and over. And the things that we can do until that time are things of this manner, but we have to have the proper people in place that are willing to defend us and willing to stand up and willing to take a couple on the chin to protect us. There's a, you know, in the Jefferson argument, there's many people that will say that, well, there's got to be the understanding of it's a win-win between Southern California and Northern California, that this is a good thing for Southern California and a good thing for Northern California. And I want to make the argument that the current situation as it is a good thing for Southern California. It's a bad thing for Northern California. They don't care that it's a bad thing for us. They're very unsympathetic. And with some understanding, it would be a good thing for Southern California to have this separation. But they don't understand that, nor are they willing to look at it, because they have a good thing now. And I think it's time that we make such a nuisance out of ourselves, such a pain and a thorn in California's side, that they can't wait to get rid of us. That if we can disrupt, dismantle, put a stop to anything and everything that California is trying to do to us, they can't wait. They won't be able to wait to get rid of us. And I know I'm preaching active resistance here, people. I know in some of the water things that are going on, there's active resistance that are building. There's farmers and ranchers that are going and opening the wellheads and putting water on their land against what is the supposed rule of law, even because that rule of law has really broken the law and taken away their rightful property and their ability to survive. I know of people that are bulldozing diversion dams to get water back to their land. There is an active and aggressive resistance that is beginning to build up here in Jefferson. And I'm happy to see it, because it is absolutely time for it to happen. Because if we don't make this happen, if we're not willing to stand up and risk everything, we're going to lose everything. We're already, I think a lot of what's going on is because we don't have a whole lot left to lose. It has been taken away from us. If you look at the Jefferson financial statements, we know that our counties would be better off without California. Hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases that we could be using for our roads, for our schools, for our infrastructure. All of the things that California is sucking us dry like a vampire. Our lakes are emptying because of why? Because of insane, out-of-control government that is dumping trillions of gallons of water into the ocean with no human usage. And they can't verify that it's doing a single bit of good for anybody. And it's about control. They are manufacturing this drought. They are emptying the lakes and reservoirs to do it so that they can enforce control over one of the most vital things there is, and that's water. They're doing it so that they can enforce regulations like meters on your wellhead so that you have to pay for your own resources. It is completely out of hand, government, and it is time that we actively resist it. It is time that we elect representatives that are not going to cooperate with it, negotiate with it, try to find a way around it, not bargain with it, but actively stand up and defy it. Because that is absolutely where we are. We're going to get off to our other break here, and then when we come back, I'm just going to keep beating the drum until people start getting it. All right.
Just yeah. you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park invites you to experience the brand new riparian forest adventure. Explore the forest around Turtle Bay like never before as you travel from the museum to Paul Bunyan's forest camp. The new riparian forest adventure gives guests a new view and fresh experience with the wonderful world we live in as you make your way to and from the forest camp with interactive and educational activities along the way. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore. Same as my daddy's daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line. Everybody knew it made moonshine. I'm a revenue man on a granddad bed. Headed up a holler of everything had. For my time, but I've been told never come back from Copperhead Road.
That's about it. That old revenue man, poor old feller, just didn't make it home that night, did he? No. So I am. I'm here beating the drum about active resistance to what California's doing to us. It's time to stand up on our own hind legs and tell them no, and actively tell them no, and identify ways to do that. It's legal. It's moral. You read the thoughts and the foundations of morality that our founding fathers had, and they not only told us that we had a right, but we had a duty to resist when government becomes tyrannical. And who can say that the government of California is not tyrannical to us here in the North? Because it absolutely is. I don't think even the people that are opposed to the state split can make a defendable argument that our state government is not tyrannical. And what comes with tyranny is corruption. That is one of the biggest things that we have discovered since we started this Jefferson movement, is the corruption that is going on in our state and our county levels. Some of the counties that we deal with, including my own home county of Shasta, is so corrupt. It's fascinating to me that these people are getting away with this. And I think a lot of it is because people aren't paying attention, but they're starting to. They're starting to catch on. A perfect example, our governor, good old Moonbeam, last week was just caught stealing $331 million from California citizens to plug holes in his budget. Does everybody remember the foreclosure crisis when everybody was losing their homes, but nobody could provide the deeds because of the mortgage bundling and people were having their homes foreclosed on illegally and things like that? Well, if everybody remembers, there was a huge lawsuit that came out of that, and the banks that were engaged in that illegal activity were forced to give back millions and billions of dollars to the people that they had ripped off through these mortgage scams. That money was actually given to the individual states to distribute to those homeowners. Recently, a group just sued the state of California, and Jerry Brown specifically, because they haven't received their funds for their mortgage fraud. And they said, okay, break bread, give us some money. Jerry Brown fought that, of course, and ended up losing in court. And the court said, that's absolutely these people's money. Now turn it over to them. And it took Jerry Brown a minute, but eventually he said, well, I can't. I don't have that money. Well, what do you mean you don't have that money? Well, I took that money out of a trust fund and used it to plug holes in my budget. You know, my everything's beautiful, rainbows, unicorns, and lollipop budget where we have a $10 million surplus. I just stole $331 million from the private citizens of California to float my budget that is so spectacular and awesome. Right. And these are the kind of things that we're facing. We're facing this corruption, and the time to just shake your head and wring your hands about it and do nothing is over. I mean, let's face the fact that our state government no longer follows the rule of law. And when they no longer follow the rule of law, that contract of law of social society is broken. Our government has broken it. Now, what do we do? There is recourse. There is precedent for recourse. There is legality for recourse. I'm making the argument that the government of California is invalid. That case has been made before by other states. West Virginia did it against Virginia. They were actually backed up by the Supreme Court. That's how West Virginia became West Virginia, is they formed their own government because the government of Virginia had become invalid, because it was no longer respecting the rule of law. It was no longer following the Constitution. Now, am I saying that we get that radical here? I don't know yet. We have a process that we're following in Jefferson that is working. It's mounting support, and we need to do everything we can to get behind that and make it work, because it is working. You know, we often tell people when they say, well, California will never let you leave. Well, we tell them we're not asking permission. We're doing California the courtesy of informing them of our departure. We have every right to do what we're doing, and we have every need to do what we're doing. I mean, you have a governor that is stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from the people, and that's just one thing. That's not talking about high-speed rail or any of the other things that are going on. The state's Agricultural Labor Board just got hit because they were intimidating farm workers, trying to force them to join unions. Okay, that's not Gestapo brown shirt tyranny. It absolutely is. All of these things that we were talking about, the budget, and the things that everybody told us that, oh, we don't know what we're talking about, and you've got your numbers wrong. You know, we talk about the unfunded pensions of CalPERS that are going to crush the state. And we've been saying that the state's about $1.2 trillion in debt. Well, come to find out, everybody was right. We were wrong on that one. It's actually about $1.5 trillion. And that's in unfunded liabilities in CalPERS. I mean, the headline from CalPERS' own website is, "Pension tidal wave is about to crash down on taxpayers." Okay. We have all of these things that are coming down the road. And my question to everybody is how much longer are you going to sit there and just let it hit you and hit your kids and hit your grandkids and not do anything about it? How much longer are you going to sit back and smile and nod before you remember that you are an American citizen and that you have not only the right but the duty to stand up and resist tyrannical government? It keeps going on and on with California. You know, like I brought up earlier, the vaccine, and I know that we've beat the vaccine law in, but what better example is there than when a government removes the choice of what is injected into your own child? You know, how much further do they have to go? Looks like we have ourselves a caller here, Peter in Bella Vista.
Go ahead, Peter.
Are you there, Peter?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your question, sir?
Look, I wanted to... I was watching Fox News this morning, and they had all the red states and everything else, and basically that the election in 2016 is going to rely on seven states. And what brings to mind is, you know, there's 40 states that are red, and there's about seven that control who gets in, which brings to mind the Electoral College. And here in California, where you got 64 electoral votes, and it's all winner-take-all. And yet, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he turns around and says that 75% of the property owners of California are conservative, of which I'm one of them. And, you know, basically, you know, you got California controlled by L.A. And San Francisco, which are minority areas. And so I'm interested to know, how did that evolve, that winner take all, and cannot each individual county, if it's conservative, you know, have a vote? I mean, basically, it's pointless voting in California if you are a conservative. So why don't they have the electoral vote split up into the areas that are conservative and then liberal?
Well, that's a really good question. And to answer you, Peter, it's because the system has been broken. It does not function the way that it was originally designed to. The Electoral College system, there's a very good foundation of thought for it, but you have it broken by the fact that we don't have representative government, that you have a straight democracy that allows them to gerrymander districts. Because the electorates actually, they send delegates to vote where those electoral votes go, and that's based on districts that are gerrymandered. You have other things that are broken due to the Reynolds versus Sims decision. We're on a straight democracy, so that the individual counties in California don't have their say. And then you go on to the 17th Amendment that removed how senators are actually picked, because senators were actually supposed to be directly elected by legislatures, but those were to be elected by legislatures that were mirrors of the federal form of government. So you have all of these different things that are in play that have intentionally broken and disrupted our system. It's not that the system doesn't work. It's that we're not following the rules.
Other states have split electoral votes?
Not that I'm aware of.
So basically it's winner take all in every state.
Yes, it is. And that would actually be okay if the basis of representation in the states were the constitutional model where everybody had an equal say. The problem is that it's weighted only by the population. There's no equal representation. If there was equal representation, the winner-take-all state model would be functional.
Well, it's certainly not working in California or no. America.
Well, no, it's not, because
you've got America controlled by seven states.
Well, that's because we're not following the way that it's supposed to be. So,
no.
All right. We're going to have to sneak off to a... Thank you, Peter. We're going to have to sneak off to a break, but first we got Terry with a quick comment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in what you're saying, Red. And Peter, one of the things that Red was saying is that because we're not on the federal model of government in the state, and that was apportioned to 30 states, that would dynamically change everything. So Reynolds versus Sims is a key not only for California, but it's also a key for the United States of America.
For everybody.
But I did have a couple of quick announcements, one about Monday night and something else, so I can hold through the break to give you those if you wish.
Okay, we'll hit the break, and then I'll grab a cup of coffee, and we'll get to it.
Okie doke.
It all just happened so fast.
Yes, it did.
And if anybody else has a question or comment, we got 605-4567, as always. go ahead and give us a call, and we'll see you back on the other side of the break.
Shasta Speedway's track day and night is Thursday, June 25th. Just think, you could be driving your own car on the Shasta Speedway racetrack. You'll get a full hour of track time plus an 18-point inspection of your car. You don't want to miss your chance to race your own street car on the racetrack. Not only test the limits of your car, but test your limits as a driver. You never know. You could gain some serious bragging points with family and friends. Run your car or one of the rentals. Get one full hour of track time plus an 18-point inspection. Only $75. It's Thursday, June 25th, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Customized sessions, fast pass, novice, no experience, pace laps by reservation only. Go to Shasta-Speedway.com or call 530-515-8282. The Shasta Speedway track day and night is Thursday, June 25th, and brought to you in part by Coors Light, Blue Moon, Lithia Toyota, Tri-Counties Bank, Paint Mart, Napa Auto Parts, Anderson RV, Record Searchlight, Harvest Printing, Pepsi, Budweiser, Cicada Cantina, Applebee's, Logan's, Rock Auto, and this radio station.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, that about sums it up there, too. Good old California. Now you're just somebody I used to know. All right, Terry, you still there?
I am. Monday night at the Reading Tea Party at 6 o'clock at 2570 Bonnie View Church. Excuse me, Destiny Fellowship Church. Oh, boy. What day is it? It's Father's Day!
It is.
Happy Father's Day, Red.
I am looking forward to it.
Anyway, we are going to have Sam Paredes, and Sam Paredes, as people know, is the president of California Gun Owners Association, an amazing man talking to us about the Second Amendment, which California, again, just to add on a little bit to what Red was saying, something else that they're attacking is our Second Amendment right. So all you folks out there who care about the Constitution and care about the Second Amendment, you need to come to Destiny Fellowship Church at 2570 Bonnie View Road. It's 6 o'clock on Monday night, and Sam Paredes will be there not only to inform us on what laws and what they're trying to do, what they have done, what they are working on stopping, meaning what we are working on stopping, and also he has some very pointed opinions about the state of California, too, and how ridiculous it is, how we can't get anything through. And one last thing very quickly, I don't know if you were going to touch on this or not, Red, but on Friday, Jim Nielsen came on and talked on Carl Bott's show, and the comments he was making about the water police being an armed unit, that comment is made on that radio program, and that was not tongue-in-cheek. Anyway, I will leave it at that. And, Red, great show. But remember, the people in the Central Valley are fighting the same war that we are here down in Fresno, Bakersfield, all that stuff with the farmers and the water and stuff. So, anyway, Red, great show. Happy Father's Day, pal.
Happy Father's Day to you, Terry. I hope you enjoy it. I know I intend to. And some of the things that were said by Nielsen and some of the things that were said by Congressman Doug LaMalfa regarding the TPA and the TPP, I believe will be getting discussed with Sovereign Minds coming up here next from 9 to 11. I know they have Charlie Daniels on. That's right, the Charlie Daniels they did an interview with. So some of those things will be getting touched on, but that'll be the next show. Terry does bring up a very good point. That, you know, the people in the Central Valley are fighting the same fight. They're losing their livelihoods. They're losing their ability to sustain over these water policies. And it's no wonder that Southern California, especially out in the Inland Empire, the Central Valley, has their own movement to pull away from Sacramento. You know, it would be nice if we could have some coordination with that movement down there and come to amicable agreements amongst ourselves on how we could do some of these things together, escape the insanity of Sacramento and, you know, cooperate with each other with mutual understanding of each other's needs, mutual respect towards each other, all of the things that we're not seeing out of California now. Hopefully those are conversations that begin to happen, and wouldn't be surprised in the least if they didn't start very soon. But getting back to what I'm really beating the drum on, because I know not a lot of you are where I am with it. I am very much there to active resistance and just, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to do some of the things that you are you're telling people to do. And it's a difficult decision for me. I'm not going to lie, because I see a very slippery slope. Once you begin to ignore the rule of law, some of the things that could happen and kind of spiral out of control. I've put a lot of thought in this. This is not just a radical, oh, to hell with it, I'm done, kind of throw up my hands, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But I think that if your refusal keeps you within the bounds of law, then you're okay. If your refusal to comply with laws keeps you within the bounds of the Constitution of the federal government and of your state, then I think you're okay. Because when you're refusing to comply with illegal laws that are operating outside of the bounds of the Constitution, when it's the government that is violating the law, and you're refusing to comply with illegal laws, if that makes sense, I think you're okay. If that's the guiding light that you use to define what you're going to comply with and not comply with, I think you're okay morally. And like I said, these are just my thoughts. I welcome anybody else to get a hold of me or call and tell me your thoughts. But using the Constitution as my guide light for what's right and what's wrong, I'm at the point of non-compliance with anything outside of the Constitution. I'm done. I'm not going to do it. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And I don't see how that can make me a criminal if I'm functioning inside of the Constitution. And I really want to kind of pound taking control of your counties again, taking control of your cities. I don't know how many people remember, but back before the American Revolution, we actually had representatives to the British government. Our representatives petitioned the British government incessantly, continuously. They sent them letters, they sent them ordinances, they sent them all kinds of things demanding some form of representative government, some kind of say in their own destiny, some kind of reprieve from the things that their government was doing to them. And they were absolutely ignored, just like we are now. What is the difference? I guess we've got Terry back.
No, I've been here. I just listened.
Oh.
But I did want to add one quick thing. One is that Mark Baird will be talking about a lot of the things you're talking about right now, Red, and the water issues on Carl Bott's program on Monday. That's this coming Monday, Mark Baird, 8 o'clock, Carl Bott's program, reiterating some of the things Red's saying and maybe even getting into it a little deeper. The other thing I want to encourage you about, Red, and encourage everybody out there, and that is that, you know, doing what Red's talking about and standing up for our rights, our God-given rights in the Constitution, will put us in danger. But if we do not stand up, gentlemen, and I'm talking to the dads, I'm talking to the fathers, if we don't stand up, we put our kids and our grandkids in even greater danger. So at what point do you stand up?
I agree with that absolutely 100%. And that's what I'm doing, what I'm doing. And not only do I urge people to stand up and no longer comply, but when your neighbor stands up and no longer complies, you go to his house and you help him. That you collectively support each other in standing up against what's happening. If your neighbor is being cut off from his water rights and his family is being starved out by the government, you go over there and you help him turn on that well. If your neighbor's children are not being allowed in school because their parents don't believe that they should be injecting the parts of dead fetuses and aluminum that causes Alzheimer's and all these other horrible things that the state is mandating that you put in them, you go with your neighbor, whether you believe in the vaccines or not, but you believe in their ability to choose whether or not they do that, you go with them to the school and you protest and then you fight until that kid is in school. You stand together as a community and you resist these things. It is absolutely time. It is beyond time. It has gone way, way too far. And the only way we get it back is by active resistance.
On June 27th, as Jan said, we are having Jefferson in the Park at 6 o'clock. One of the keynote speakers is Greg Watkins. Greg Watkins is the mayor of Shasta Lake City, and that area boasts around 10,000 people. The mayor helped us put this together. That's what's happening here, folks. We have people who are good elected officials who are in office who are saying, okay, we need to stand up against this tyranny. We need to stand up against what they're doing to our water. Really, Senator Nielsen, water police.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing to me. And I'm glad that he did alert us to that. But folks, wake up.
Yeah, it's well beyond the time. It's here. It's been here, and it's starting to show its teeth now. It's not a warm, soft puppy. So we will be back next Sunday. The mouse will be back. Stand up, Jefferson. I'm going to keep hitting you in the head with it until I hope you get it. You know, and maybe you're not out there where I am yet, but pay attention and you will be soon. And go help your neighbor when they stand, and they'll come and help you when you stand up. All right, until then, keep the sunny side up.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Standing room only at Charleston's Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church this morning as services were held just days after the pastor and eight other people were murdered there. Alana Simmons is granddaughter of Daniel Simmons, one of the victims.
To see everyone coming together, not to bash or to talk about the suspect, but to celebrate the lives and to heal together.
She spoke to NBC TV. Church bells tolled across the city at 10 o'clock this morning in solidarity with the congregation of Emmanuel. Police in New Orleans say they've arrested a man suspected of shooting and killing a police officer. The New Orleans Police Department says 33-year-old Travis Boyce was arrested this morning after an intensive manhunt. He is a suspect in the shooting death of Officer Daryl Holloway, a 22-year veteran of the department, shot and killed while transporting Boyce to jail yesterday.